Welcome back one and all to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Arola, ready to lead you through an absurd day in the news, as we pretty much do every day. But joining us for this particular absurd day, making their epic return, Benny is back. Benny, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's going pretty good.
Yeah, we're in wild times, obviously. Nobody's disputing that. One of the general ways that we at TYT try to deal with the insane of the news is through our coverage, through our discussions and everything. So what have you been focusing on recently in your own work?
Oh, that's a good question. Existing trans people, our existence is being criminalized. So I especially like on like the breakdown, I've been doing like a ton of like videos on the breakdown, like kind of like pointing out how unhinged these like TERFs are. That's kind of like one of my like bread and butter go to's. And so, yeah, like those breakdown videos, they're pretty fun and interesting in my opinion. Yeah.
Maybe people should check them out. Maybe. Anyway, we'll see. Totally. This week in particular, the weaponization of the identity of the Nashville shooter has led to just some of the worst stuff in our politics in quite a while. It just seems so notable that all of a sudden the identity matters of a shooter. It's never before, like when, you know, literally hundreds of shooters that have been at least at like 100 yards pace identical to me, it's never mattered the identity, any of these demographic variables, but all of a sudden it is. So that's fun. Anyway, we are going to be talking a little bit about shooting related concerns. We have, thankfully, not just people being awful, but some people being passionate in wanting something to be accomplished, still believing, perhaps naively, that something can be done. And so we're going to be talking about that and along the way about a lot of other stuff too. We have some new emails being released in Dominion's lawsuit against Fox News that I think just makes the case against Fox that they were perfectly willing to lie in exchange for concerns about their income. They could not be any clearer. We're gonna show those for you to you and break them down. We've got a variety of different forms of anti-trans legislation from two different states, from both Kentucky and Kansas, that we're gonna be talking about. And AOC responds to some of the right wing's big oil lies. And Joe Biden sort of sides with the right when it comes to more exploitation of oil. So that's gonna be fun. But don't worry, if you stick around for the aftermath, we've got Huggies related conspiracy theories. So there's fun coming, don't worry. Anyway, along the way, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that'd be great so people know we're live. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets or super chats, not only do you have a chance to have your comments read on the air, but you even have a chance at a $100 Blue Apron gift card. How fun is that? And with all that said, Benny, you ready to do this thing?
Heck yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's do it. Let's jump into this.
They're cowards. They're all cowards. They won't do anything to save the lives of our children at all. Cowards. Pressure them. Force them to respond to the question, why the hell won't you do anything to save America's children? And let them explain that all the way up until Election Day of 2024. Let them explain it all the way up to Election Day of 2024.
No, yeah, I know what you're thinking. That's not actually Cenk Uygur. That is Jamal Bowman losing it over the cowardice of congressional Republicans. They're not even, he's calling them cowards. And look, I do think that there is an element of fear, but what Jamal Bowman is so rightly and forcefully pointing out, I would say is just apathy. It's they don't care at all. And they no longer feel like they have to put any of their energy into performative pretending to care, even if just briefly, even if just on social media, even if just when it comes to thoughts and prayers. Any number of different Republicans, including their literal king in the House with Kevin McCarthy, just isn't answering questions, doesn't care. They are not going to do anything because they don't feel like they have to. And that at the end of the day, regrettably, is on us, not necessarily individually us or you in the audience, but collectively the us that is unable to break through and force them to do what they're not gonna do without the pressure that Jamal Bowman is pushing for. So we're gonna get in a sec to a little back and forth between Bowman and Representative Thomas Massie. But Benny, what do you think about what you just saw?
Yeah, I mean, like Jamal Bowman is like so angry here for a reason why I think most morally decent people are angry, because the truth of the matter is the way Republicans like interact with the reality of mass shootings in the United States. Like, Republicans basically treat mass shootings as a slot machine that always wins for them, right? Because whenever there's a mass shooting, they pretend like all the Democrats are gonna respond by taking all of your guns. They're gonna take all of your guns. And then it's a boon for, you know, gun manufacturers because all these people are buying guns in a panic. And then every once in a while, right, somebody from a marginalized community is rarely the person that's committing a mass shooting. And then they're like, oh, double winner. Now we get to use this as an excuse to go after an entire community of people because of what one person has done. Instead of looking at the common denominator behind all of these things, which I know this is wild. Like, maybe, hear me out, John, this is gonna be shocking. Maybe we could actually do something about the fact that it's so easy to get these firearms. I know, maybe that might have some like relationship to the mass shootings that are happening in the United States. I know it's hard to believe, but.
Maybe, I don't think it's worth looking into though, honestly. Yeah, as I was saying yesterday, like whether it's, you know, the sort of generalized diversion of it's mental illness, or specifically in this case, weaponized virulent transphobia. What's always amazing about that, and it could potentially change in this one case, we've seen some indications, is they'll be like, it's not the guns, it's that you have all over America at all times, we just have to accept this, violently dangerous, insane people who should be able to get an AR-15 at any time they want. It's always such a weird argument to make. I mean, they only verbally make the first half of that. But since they don't want to ban people from getting these guns, that is effectively what they want. They believe that Americans are uniquely broken, uniquely violent, uniquely deranged, and should be able to access the deadliest weapons of war at the drop of a hat. That is a really weird position to take. But that is their actual position. Now that said, I do want to get into, there was lots of representatives walking past Jamal Bowman. Here's Thomas Massie talking to him.
They're freaking cowards. They're gutless. They're not here. I'm talking about gun violence.
You know, there's never been.
I'm talking about gun violence.
A school that allows teachers to care.
Oh my God.
Carry guns? We think more guns lead to more death. More guns lead to more death. Look at the data. You're not looking at any data. You're carrying the water for the gun lobby. Look at the data. More guns lead to more deaths.
What do you know? Thomas Massie was able to find a way to suggest that yet more guns is the answer. That makes a lot of sense from the point of view of someone who makes money selling guns, I suppose. It makes sense from someone who wants the future political support of people who believe that guns are the most important thing in the world, far and away more important than the lives of children. It makes sense from that point of view, not from any other point of view. And look, even if you can point out, he says there's like 100 school or hundreds of schools or whatever. That allow teachers to be armed. I don't know that that's true, but let's pretend that he's right. He's probably not, he's a Republican, they're known liars, but let's pretend that it's true. What the hell is that supposed to mean? How many schools are there in America? Thousands, tens of thousands? He's got this tiny little swath and he said, well, there hasn't been a shooting there. Well, yeah, you could probably find like a case where there hasn't been a school shooting where there's an evergreen right here and then a walnut tree right here. So clearly that's the solution to the violence. Again, having teachers be armed might eventually influence the outcome of a shooting. If we assume that simply giving a second grade teacher a firearm means that they're gonna be able to take down someone with body armor and a plan and pipe bombs and all that. If you believe that insane thing, then maybe they will eventually be able to do that. The idea though, that will stop the shootings is so mind-bogglingly stupid. Virtually every one of these school shooters ends dead, shot. They know they're gonna be shot. Many of them shot by their own hand. They are not warded off by the possibility of gun violence. They know that going in because all the previous school shooters who they worship, most of them were shot and killed. So any argument that's designed to be like, no, we're gonna scare them away is utter nonsense. Even having a teacher with a gun means that you could shoot up any number of other rooms before that actually becomes a component of it. And all of this again is designed as a distraction, either to make Republicans not have to feel that they have to think about this at all, or honestly to get me to go on the rant that I just went on when we all know that it's utter BS. Sorry, Betty, what do you think?
No, exactly. Because like at the end of the day, like we need to stop collectively. We need to stop pretending that Republicans actually care about the truth, right? Like you can give them facts, figures, data, all these things, like all you want. You can make the rational argument and be really smart brained about it. But the reality is they don't care, right? They don't care what the data says. They don't care if people die. They don't care if school children die. What they care about are the profits of these gun manufacturers. And so if it's not like lining up with the profits of gun manufacturers, then it's not lining up with what the Republicans want to do. There is nothing, especially now at this point with the incredibly gerrymandered districts that we have, with the way that like Donald Trump has completely detached like a huge chunk of the Republican base from reality entirely. Fundamentally, Republicans have fully embraced the idea that reality is entirely optional to them and that they can just live their lives completely ignoring any amount of suffering that people are actually facing. And so like ultimately, the like responsibility is on us to just point out how deeply unhinged and shameless these people are. Like that really is what needs to be hammered down, because obviously more guns is not going to save people's lives. Obviously having a gun in like an elementary school or middle school, you're gonna have more gun deaths because elementary schools and middle schoolers, they are gonna goof around with those guns, right? Because like we just know that gun accidents with children is hugely common because kids just don't really understand like what life and death means sometimes. Yeah. And they'll fool around with guns because they think it's a toy, because unfortunately adults in the United States treat guns like toys. And so all of these things taken together, like it is just deeply, deeply shameless. And it quite literally, in order to be a Republican today, I think it requires you not having the ability to feel shame.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And also, and it's on their base. Like their base can watch Kevin McCarthy refuse to answer questions. They can watch was it Burchett from, I think, was it from Tennessee? I think it was from Tennessee, being like, we're not gonna fix it. We're just not gonna fix it. And if you're a Republican voter, maybe a Republican voter with kids, and you can watch them do that, so clearly not even feeling the need to pretend to care about kids being gunned down. And if that does not revolt you to your core, then you are a part of the problem as well. And you know, we make these sorts of arguments where like we like break down the lies or the flaws in logic or whatever. And we do that because we care about reality, we care about logic and all that. We don't do that to change their mind, because we know that they effectively don't have a mind. What they have is money. They have money that they've been given. That's what they have. I don't care about them or their minds or whatever. It's irrelevant. You cannot change a mind that isn't interested. What we need to do is get them out of office, replace them, wipe them out politically. Just, we don't need better arguments. We already have them. We don't need the facts on our side. They already are. We don't need more popular policies. People already support them. What we need is power. That's what we need. That's what we should be pushing for. We're gonna move on to the next section of this. We're not gonna be playing that third video, but if we can get ready for the fourth, we're gonna jump into that. Let me intro it though first. As I think has become clear to most people and is often focused on in the wake of these mass shootings, including school shootings, is that AR-15s are not like other guns, and not just in that they look scarier, they have a darker reputation or anything. They're different in the effect that rounds fired from them actually have on the human body. And every once in a while, we need to remind people of that fact. And in this case, I want to give credit to the Washington Post for, I think, doing a very good job of this. We're going to show you sort of a slideshow of some of the simulations that they've done showing what AR-15 rounds, the effect they have on the body, but also comparing them to other sorts of ammunition. So take a look at this. Carved through the body. Of first in orange, a round fired by an AR-15, and then the second case, that's a 9mm round. And showing that they're not just different. The AR-15 doesn't just shoot faster or generally maybe have access to more information with whatever clip you might put into it. It's not just that. It literally has a far more devastating effect on the body. There is so much energy imparted to the round by the significantly larger amount of propellant that each one of the rounds has. That it hits the body and just effectively explodes a path through the body. Which means that in those two wounds that you saw, one might be survivable. The 9mm wound could potentially be survivable. But in many cases, there's nothing left to repair after an AR-15 bullet hits your chest. It's destroyed your heart, or it's destroyed all the arteries going to it. If it hits you in the head, and they do simulations of that as well, there's effectively nothing to repair at that point. And so it isn't just that they're accurate, lots of ammunition, all of that, which makes it very efficient for killing as many humans as possible. But you don't have to make multiple hits to kill someone necessarily. A single shot, particularly for a young person, is more than enough. So this is yet another example of why some weapons uniquely deserve bans that haven't in America gotten them, at least recently. Anyway, there's a lot there, and everyone should definitely check out the Washington Post's recent coverage on this. They have a lot of really, in some cases, hard to deal with. They show particular kids and they show the particular injuries that they've had in different shootings and talk about the effect that it had on the body to make this as real as possible. But Benny, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, it's just really heartbreaking. It's just really infuriating because it's just fundamentally unnecessary. Like it's not something that anybody needs. Can we stop pretending that it's gonna be for home defense? Like, can we just please, for love of God, just stop pretending that like, oh, AR-15, you know, I really need this for like home defense. Like, no, you don't, right? You're not John Rambo. Nobody's out to get you, right? You're not gonna like save the world or anything like that. You're just a random person. Please stop, right? Cause it's just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't really know what to say because like it is just so horrific, even just the suggestion of the level of injuries, especially when you're talking about like innocent children, right? And the fact that it happens so regularly in the United States of America and really nowhere else, right? Like, and the simple fact that we have people that are so evil that they're unwilling to do anything about it. And the simple fact that our system is so undemocratic that even though the overwhelming majority of people want to do something about it, we can't because of just like a small handful of like incredibly evil people who just have a ridiculous amount of money. It's so unbelievable.
And to your use of the word evil there, again, like it always for me, one of the things that makes following this like emotionally difficult is the juxtaposition of multiple things that are going on in the country at the same time. So for instance, when you have been told for years that the left is censorious and they do a cancel culture, and then meanwhile the Republicans ban thousands of books around the country, that makes each of those things worse. In this case, to have an entire party and tens of millions of their followers literally not care about children being blown to pieces. And then for that group to say that you all are satanic because a 4chan post, I don't know, something, something Huggies, something, something Wayfair, we're satanic. They literally don't care about kids being gunned down every week.
But I mean, in this instance, they're practically gleeful. In this instance, they're practically gleeful. When they found out that the shooter was trans, they were like acting like they just won the lottery. They're acting like it was Christmas morning.
It's the best thing.
Literal children were dead.
It's the best thing that's happened to them in months. Tucker Carlson could not be more excited about that. Marjorie Greene could not be more excited about that. That is the truth. We have to accept that. There are sick people. There are evil people, and there is something about our culture that the sicker you are, the more dishonest and deceptive you are, the more corrupt you are, the more likely you are to be raised to the top of politics and media and to have influence over the thoughts of far more people. Anyway, like I said, go to the Washington Post. You can see some of these breakdowns. You can still defend your house. People get shotguns for home defense. You can still hunt. My father hunted with a bow. Like there are any numbers of rifles. You can buy a handgun. There are all these sorts of things, making it so virtually anyone can get a uniquely deadly weapon on short notice for basically no money, probably on credit. It's not a good idea. This is not a good idea, clearly demonstrated every single day. Okay, with that said, we're gonna take a short break. We come back, we're gonna switch gears, so don't go anywhere. Okay, everybody, let's mix things up and get started with this. Abby Grossberg is the producer who is currently suing Fox News over what Abby Grossberg alleges to be sort of conditioning and threats to try to get Abby to say what they want when it comes to the Dominion lawsuit. That is going to be an ongoing process that we're going to be following. But for the first time, Abby Grossberg has now been interviewed about this. And here is a little bit about of that.
People said you were a lousy journalist, that your behavior was shameful because, among other things, you had said in reply to a question that you did not believe that it was your responsibility to fact check whether or not what someone was going to say on the broadcast was telling the truth.
It felt awful. I mean, it felt terrible because I knew that I was bullied, intimidated, and coerced into saying that just to keep my job and stay at the company. And the question a lot of people would have is, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Because I made the decision to keep my job so that I could keep paying my bills. It seemed like the safer decision for me at the time.
Yeah, look, it is difficult when you get put in that position. We can't assume that just because this person works at Fox News that they have, you know, great financial means or whatever. And at the same time, we can acknowledge that this person, you know, if there hadn't been this pressure put on them, would have apparently been perfectly happy to work for a variety of some of the most horrendous people in media. I mean, trying to work for Tucker Carlson in the last couple of years, we know what he does. We know what the mission of his show is. We know what the point of it is. So we can have whatever thought that we want about Abby Grossberg's politics or willingness to be a part of absolutely horrendous conspiracy theories and white supremacy and misogyny and homophobia and transphobia and Islamophobia and all of those things. But that doesn't mean that Fox can put pressure on Abby Grossberg to lie in a court case or imply to Abby Grossberg that she is going to be the one that goes down for their network-wide spreading of the big lie. Now, they have responded to some of these claims saying the assertion that Ms. Grossberg was coached or intimidated into being dishonest during her Dominion deposition is patently false. We will continue to vigorously defend Fox against her unmeritorious legal claims, which are riddled with false allegations against the network and our employees. It might be Abby Grossberg could be lying or could be wrong. Of course, at the same time, when we have all of these emails showing what everyone from producers to the CEO of Fox News perfectly willing to lie when it came to this stuff, it makes it a little bit easier to accept the claims of Abby Grossberg. That said, at this point, we don't know. But Benny, what do you think about what you just saw?
I guess the biggest takeaway here is that I guess it's nice to see that Fox News is facing some degree of consequence for operating entirely outside of the realm of reality, like especially when you're talking about, like, you know, spreading myths about the election being rigged and stuff like that, and just like this outright misinformation that they're running. But as for like an individual person like turning on Fox News and saying like, no, this is a bridge too far, it really does kind of like, look, I don't know. I guess I kind of have like a little bit of a hard time feeling bad for somebody who's like working at Fox News. It kind of seems like it's like, yeah, you don't want to lie in court and then end up like in jail or something. So, you know, like, I don't know, because we all know what Fox News is. We all know what Fox News does. We're like, we know what they do. And like me, especially as like as a trans person, right? Like you have people on Fox News who on a very regular basis say that like my existence should be illegal. So, you know, like, I guess congratulations on having some line somewhere. Like, you've proven that, like, it exists somewhere for you. But, like, come on. You know, like, come on. You couldn't have drawn that line a little bit somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm trying to separate out, I think, a reasonable evaluation of what this person is comfortable with. But that doesn't make the pressure and all that acceptable. In any event, I want to give you a few more details that were released. I think the full interview will be coming out soon. But at one point, Grossberg said that she received a text message from her boss that she paraphrased as saying, quote, you can let Maria Bartiromo, who she was working for then, know there will be no fact checking today. She can do what she wants, go wild. If she has that text message, that is going to be very bad for Fox. And Abby Grossberg has been requested by Dominion to testify in the lawsuit. All the while, Fox higher-ups referred to Bartiromo as crazy, menopausal, hysterical, apparently to her employees anyway. And she says that it was clear that the company wanted to scapegoat her. I don't know how they could have thought that that would be a successful strategy when you have people literally on the air before millions of people telling verifiable lies. But maybe that was one of their strategies. In any event, I'm sure we're going to hear more from Abby Grossberg as well as from Fox and Dominion as the lawsuit moves forward, which it will in just the next couple of weeks. That said, I wanna move to some of this information that's been revealed. I thought we had seen all that we were gonna see when it came to text messages and emails released in this Dominion lawsuit against Fox News. Again, a $1.6 billion lawsuit. But Matthew Gaetz tweeted out some more apparently that have been revealed. And I wanna go through a few of these. There are many. You should definitely go check out Matthew Gaetz's Twitter account to see them. We can't cover all of them, but some of what has now been revealed, I don't know how these were still waiting in the wings with all of the lies and the I hate Trump stuff and everything, but take a look at some of this. So this is Suzanne Scott, who I believe is the president of Fox News, some high up exec, yeah, I believe it's the president, says this has to stop now. This is coming right after the election. They do not mean the lies, by the way. This is bad business, okay? The audience is furious and we are just feeding them material, bad for business. So talking about fact checking, trying to be honest about what happened in the election, this is bad for business to do this. Our audience is furious at the truth being told to them and that's going to hurt us. Goes on to say, the audience feels like we crapped on and we have damaged their trust and belief in us. We lost 25K subs from Fox Nation. We can fix this, but we cannot smirk at our viewers any longer. Again, telling the truth is being presented as a smirk. And this is a top exec saying, the truth will lose us subscribers, so we cannot do that anymore. I feel like if you allowed Dominion to have written the emails, they could not have produced more damning materials than the top brass at Fox News was producing in the wake of the 2020 election. What do you think, Benny?
I mean, yeah, like, look, we all know the Republican base just craves detachment from reality. They crave the fantasy realm, right? And Fox News, as long as they're trying to present themselves as like a serious news organization, will always struggle to compete with the most deranged YouTubers out there. Like fundamentally at the end of the day, like that's the core problem with Fox News is they establish the premise that reality is optional. And then a huge chunk of their own audience was like, oh, reality is optional? Oh my God, I'm gonna go watch, you know, I'm gonna go get moon pilled and think the moon landing is fake now. You know what I mean? Like, and they just go off on these like ridiculous tangents just into complete nowhere land where they invent all this like just fantasy nonsense. And we're at the point now where like a core chunk of the Republican Party only want to hear like overt Nazi propaganda. Like let's be real about what it is. Like they're pushing great replacement theory, right? They're pushing blood libel. They're like pushing like all these like really, really old school anti-Semitism, right? And like the you know, plethora of like connected conspiracy theories that are attached to it. That's what they want. That's what like a huge chunk of the Republican Party base wants. Fox News is moving in that direction. I mean, they've been doing it just with like dog whistles, you know, it's just slightly less overt, but now they're even getting more overt. And just this disconnectedness from reality is just sort of like expanding because Fox News is trying to compete with like the most unhinged people that exist on like YouTube and Twitter and like all these other platforms.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. They have created a monster that they cannot control and have no interest trying to control. And that's really the bad thing. And look, the media, probably there's always been a case to be made, I guess, that maybe they were chasing viewers or whatever. I think there's a lot of things that have made it worse though. One is that it is way easier to know immediately exactly what people want to hear. And so if you are completely lacking in principles and you just are gonna deliver whatever will get people to clap for you, hand over money, all that, it is easier than it's ever been to know exactly what you need to say. I don't know, network shows back 40 years ago, it was probably a little bit more difficult. You had to do like a literal focus group or something. But now they know exactly what gets them pushback. If they say something honest, they get tweeted at instantly by people telling them that they're gonna go watch OAN instead. And the thing is, Fox, I don't think is wrong at all in their evaluation of the business effectiveness. If they had actually told the truth, they probably would be far smaller than they are today. But the issue is, if you do actually care about reality and what is actually gonna happen to America, then it is your obligation to push back anyway, to be willing to risk that it'll all fall apart because there's something more important than an audience, your actual principles, the thing that you're actually fighting for. Of course, Fox is not going to do that because at the end of the day, they're not actually fighting for any of the things that they talk about. They just want taxes to be low and for there not to be regulations. They don't actually care about any of the rest of this. So it's easy for them to jettison things that aren't actually values of theirs at the end of the day. I just hate it. But we have a little bit more. And this is Tucker Carlson's team. And this is where, man, Tucker could end up getting in some real trouble here. They were talking early on about having Mike Lindell on. And here are some of the messages they were sending back and forth. One person says, I see the news this morning that his Twitter has been suspended. I just wanted to flag all of this because is he someone we'd want to have on? Look at that naive soul working for Tucker Carlson. Someone says, Lindell seems to have really gone off the deep end. One person says, he's definitely crazy, but this will be a big story today. So a proposed guest is definitely crazy, but it'll be a big story. I know there's concern about Lindell being a conspiracy theorist, but he's bailed us out loads of times when no one else would. They're talking about ad spending. He is a conspiracy theorist who's off the deep end, but he did make one of those pillow commercials. He's also been moving to Newsmax lately. Might be a good business move to signal that we wouldn't deserve him. They're literally saying we're gonna platform someone who's telling conspiracy theories and lies for business purposes. That's the entire thing behind Dominion's case. And they're just flat out saying it. And someone responds, yeah, I do see the point that more exposure of him also means more people dropping him potentially. And if no one is buying him, he loses money to be able to advertise with us. And then we lose our biggest advertiser. They're literally just saying all of the things. They're just saying them right out. This is gonna be a wild case.
I think, okay, my favorite part about all this though is what it reveals about, so like a lot of these Republican donors, right, that like spend all of their time just being hateful and stuff like that, that are like these like super like, you know, wealthy individuals, are like people like Mike Lindell that are like dumping ad money into Fox News, right? The reason why so many of them are like so capable of devolving into these unhinged conspiracy theories, despite the fact that they themselves are very wealthy and powerful, is because like these text messages, they reveal pretty clearly that Mike Lindell has no friends. The people around Mike Lindell genuinely think that he is deeply unhinged. And like, they're like, wow, this person is very disconnected from reality. Obviously like not really in tune with the way the world is, not necessarily a pleasant person to be around. But you know, he's got a lot of money and he's like put a lot of money into the show. So, you know, like these people, like they don't have friends. They have people that are paid to be around them. And so it's easy for them to be conspiratorial because like, I mean, I get it. You can't trust anybody because they're just there for your money. Like, and so like, I don't know.
I don't know if you're a Succession fan, but it all feels like season three Kendall, like his team around him. Like none of these people actually believe any of this stuff about you. They're just paid to be there. Ugh. I want to read one of the, before we close in this block, I just want to read one more message. And there's a little twist to this message. So first though, the message is the Brain Room, that's their fact checking org or whatever, is going through this now. Janine dictated it to Tim. It's rife with conspiracy theories and BS, and is yet another example why this woman should never be on live television. So Janine Pirro is doing this dictation that's rife with conspiracy theories, and it is proof she should never be on live TV. And the only thing more amazing than that message is that it was sent by Janine Pirro's executive producer. Your EP believes you should never be on live TV. That is amazing. She was later, by the way, promoted to co-host of the live television show, The Five. After all of that, after your own EP tells the Fox execs, this person is out of their mind, they get a better job doing more live commentary. Anyway, okay, well, that's all the fun we've got for a little bit. We need to jump into some news that's far less light and fluffy. Why don't we jump into our next block? The Republican-dominated legislature of Kentucky has voted overwhelmingly to override the prior veto of Democratic Governor Andy Beshear of an anti-trans bill. So despite the best efforts of the governor, it will be going into law. The law specifically bans surgeries, puberty blockers, and hormone therapy for children under 18, as well as basically a laundry list of every transphobic fantasy that right wingers have had over the last couple of years. It forbids school districts from requiring or recommending that students be referred to by pronouns that, quote, do not conform to a student's biological sex. It also compels doctors to cease treating patients who are undergoing gender transition care, adding that if physicians deem that ceasing treatment is likely to, quote, harm the minor, they may set a time frame to systematically phase out treatment. Well, isn't that merciful of them to very briefly listen to the advice of an actual medical professional? In addition to that, it also has new rules governing transgender youth, such as the law putting limits on what can be discussed in schools, requiring schools to give notice to parents about any program on the subject of sexuality, barring teaching of sexuality below the sixth grade level, and banning lessons at any grade level about gender identity or sexual orientation. So basically, all of the transphobic things everywhere. Benny, they tried, Bashir vetoed it, and now another state is passing this transphobic, I almost swore, I'll say BS.
Yeah, there's a lot of different directions to go here. There's genuinely like so many different directions to go here. Okay, first and foremost, okay, if you're an ally and you don't know how to talk about trans stuff, especially when it comes to trans youth and you don't understand all the hormones and stuff, I'm gonna give you this basic one liner that should give you an idea of like how to understand what exactly it is we're fighting for, right? Children should be allowed to go through whichever puberty they are the most comfortable with at the normal puberty age. That's it, right? That is as simple as it is, right? That kids should just be able to go through puberty at the normal puberty age. And for trans kids, that means going through the puberty that they're comfortable with, right? I mean, that's true for cis folks, right? Except for cis folks just don't require as much like medical intervention. And it's just literally that simple, right? Now to like address different aspects of the bill, like, okay, first and foremost, I don't think anybody's doing like bottom surgery on children. That's not a thing that's happening. It's weird that they're hyper fixating on that. You know, secondarily, banning any conversation about gender identity or sexual orientation. This is where malicious compliance, I think, is very, very effective, right? Like, and I think any state where anything like this is put in place, there should be a lot of malicious compliance, because I hate to break it to you, but dear cisgender people, you have gender identities too. I know this is wild, but you have a gender as well. Gender is not just something that trans people have. I know, shocker, right? Shocker. So if they're talking about George Washington was a man who, oh, wait, what? Are you teaching about gender right here? George Washington was a what? You're making a pretty bold claim here to say that George Washington was a man. I don't know. I think this sounds like some gender identity that you're trying to teach here. And George Washington had a what? A wife? Whoa, back off there. That's a sexual orientation, okay? I think you need
and
to slow
gender.
Your roll a little bit.
At the same time, it's both of them.
Like double whammy, right? Double illegal, not allowed. Okay, so, you know, like malicious compliance. And then the last thing I'll say is like, look, this takes like a longer conversation, but it is just literally inaccurate to refer to, for example, like for me as a trans woman, it is literally inaccurate to refer to me to claim that I'm a biological male. Biological sex is something that is determined by a whole constellation of different factors, right? A whole constellation of different factors. And with like trans people, we can get into the neuroscience of it and talk about like, you know, gendered brains and all of these things. But like the long story short of it is literally inaccurate to refer to trans people as being biologically of like the assigned gender they were given at birth, because it just fundamentally is not true with the biological reality. And I know this is also gonna be really shocking. Most people do not fit perfectly into like every single like stereotypical like sex characteristic, right? Most people have some type of like variance like physiologically. And so gender is more approximated than it is anything else. Like biological sex, that is to say, is more approximated than it is anything else. But, you know, I mean, what do I do? I just have a master's degree, right?
Honestly, that's the third way that it's illegal. An academic barred. I do also want to mention, by the way, in addition to Kentucky doing that, Kansas, their house has approved a bill that they're calling the, and make sure you're on me because I want people to see these, the Women's Bill of Rights. which would bar transgender women from entering single-sex spaces such as domestic violence shelters, bathrooms, and prison wards. What you're seeing here is effectively the same thing as what you see with prohibitions against transgender athletes in schools being pitched as a defense of women's sports. It is a novel thing for a right winger to be able to briefly pretend to give a damn about women in any aspect of society. They like to like do it just as a little treat to cloak their hatred and xenophobia as supposedly being about protecting people's rights. So effectively, it does, you know, sort of what you would expect. It's trying to push people into the shadows, or worse, probably. And that's what they're doing right here. And, you know, fully aware of all of the negative impacts that it's likely to have on many people's lives. And as is, I guess, the running theme of today's show, they don't care. They're not interested. And so you're seeing this again. So this isn't finalized. This is the Kansas House having, you know, pushed this forward. But more and more states passing a variety of these different types of bills. Some of them focused on healthcare, some of them focused on bathrooms, some of them focused on sports, some of them on all of them simultaneously. And that continues across the country. Final comment before we go to break?
Yeah, I guess like here's the final comment for any like ally out there, right? Any cisgender folks, I need you to understand something. Just think about this for 1 second, okay? Prove that the try to prove that you are the gender that you are without mentioning any body part that you have or any stereotype about the gender that you are, right? Just think about that for a second, right? Just ask yourself for one moment how you know what gender you are, like without any of those things, because like ultimately that is what trans people are up against, right? That is what trans people are up against, because everybody is like trying to like do this bioessentialist stuff and all these things. And that's just like a little thought experiment for like hopefully to get all of your gears rolling, because there's a lot more to it than I think most people really realize. And you don't realize what you're taking for granted as a cis person.
Yeah. Yeah. There might be some who are like, why would I have to do that? I don't think about my gender. I don't care about my gender. Yeah, no, that's how privilege works. Not having to do that constantly. Getting to just live. It is a nice privilege. Sorry, again, the word privilege being used now makes this conversation 4 times illegal. So, oh well. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take a short break. We come back, Kenny Clips has discovered some fascinating information about one of Matt Gaetz's staffers. So we're gonna get into that, as well as Joe Biden, Dark Brandon, turning his laser eyes on the environment after this. Okay, before we move on to the news, Depressed Progressive says in the Twitch chat, 10 years, 180 school shootings, 356 victims, CNN's 2019 stats. So we've had, you know, 4 years since then to add to those numbers, but I do appreciate you spreading that. Thank you. Okay, with that said, why don't we move on to a bizarre story? Ken Klippenstein with another amazing report for The Intercept, delving into one of the people working for Congressman Matt Gaetz. This is Derek Miller, former US Army National Guard sergeant, who apparently spent 8 years in prison for murdering an Afghan civilian back in 2010, is now out and is working as a legislative assistant covering military policy for Matt Gaetz. You can see a photo of Derek Miller right here. So first of all, here are the details. And I'm getting this from Ken Klippenstein, but he's a reporter that I trust. He says that while on a combat mission in Afghanistan, this is back in September 2010, Miller shot 27-year-old Atta Mohammed in the head during an interrogation. So from Miller's statement, he says he was acting in self-defense. Mohammed had walked through the defensive perimeter established by Miller's unit, could be a threat to his unit, and had tried to grab Miller's weapon during the interrogation. Where have we heard that before from cops constantly? But a different National Guard member testified that he heard Miller threaten to kill Mohammed if he didn't tell the truth, then sat on top of him, Mohammed was lying prone at the moment, before shooting him in the head, killing him. According to the prosecutor, Miller then said, "I shot him, he was a liar." Not, "he was grabbing my gun," after when you're sitting on him, but "he was a liar, so he needed to be shot in the head." So Mohammed's body was also left in a latrine, which is not what you're supposed to do, clearly. And eventually you had Miller sentenced to life in prison back in 2011 before being released on parole following a lobbying effort for his release. So he did spend those years in prison. Now, he has previously served as a military advisor for Representative Louie Gohmert. That's from July 2019 to September of last year. And he says that, or he was the executive director of a group, Congressional Justice for Warriors Caucus, which describes itself as, quote, dedicated to educating members of Congress about combat related incidents where US service members who are fighting for our freedoms have been unjustly incarcerated under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So look, I've always been of the opinion that after you do your time, you deserve to be able to live a life. I think we can have a debate about whether 8 years is enough for apparently executing a person that you think was being dishonest to you, according to some witnesses. But specifically being brought in to talk about military matters when you are alleged to have committed war crimes, that seems like it should be beyond, like you can't find anyone else who isn't alleged to have executed someone, a civilian, for no reason. Benny, what do you think?
I mean, the unfortunate reality is, like, look, knowing Republicans, like, that's exactly what they want, right? That's what they want. They want somebody that's so shameless and violent. And look, I as somebody who was in the military and literally had to make arguments about why it is inappropriate to label literal children as military-aged males, I will tell you this, that the culture within the military is nightmarish. And the degree to which humanity is completely disregarded within the military is horrific. It is fundamentally horrific. There is so much needless death. And I could talk about this for a long time because there are many layers to it. But like ultimately, like we need to understand that for somebody to even like face any charges within the military or anything like that for going too far, that takes a lot. That takes a lot, a significant breach from the already toxic and violent culture that exists within the military. Because the unfortunate reality is what dominates the military today is a lot of racism and xenophobia and the fundamental dehumanization of anybody that is on the other side of a firearm, the other side of the camera, the other side of you name it. It really is just built around pretending as though the people who are quite literally victimized by our imperialist violence are like less than human or something like that. And it really is just as bad as you might think it is, it's probably worse.
Yeah, like so Ken does this great story. It's probably gonna get quite a bit of, like a lot of people are gonna read it. Does anyone think that Matt Gaetz is like worried about this coming out? Like, does anyone think that there will be pressure from Republicans to not have somebody who's done these things advising on military? No, like they don't care. This isn't even like a unique thing in the Republican Party. It's not even a unique thing for Matt Gaetz. Back in 2019, Gaetz wrote a letter to Trump on behalf of Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher, who we talked about at the time, then charged with war crimes in relation to the killing of an Iraqi prisoner of war in Mosul in 2017. Gallagher was charged with stabbing a 17-year-old ISIS prisoner to death, posing with his corpse and sending the photo to friends. And Gaetz and many right-wingers felt, why is he receiving pushback for this? Why are you acting as if it's a bad thing? This was an ISIS person. It doesn't matter if they're a prisoner. You could just walk up to them with a knife, stab them to death, and then pose for selfies with the body. Why are you pretending that that's a bad thing? Gaetz has spent years defending people who have done these sorts of things. And we point it out because I think that it's objectively bad. And I know their audience will care, but again, not because we believe they're gonna care. If you're a conservative watching this, like I would love to see a message from a conservative who agrees that it's unacceptable to execute captives or to murder civilians. Like, I understand that it was a conservative who did it, so it's gonna be difficult for you to admit that it was wrong. But anyone, maybe a Christian can have a problem with executing civilians. I feel like there's probably something in the Bible about that being a bad thing. Thou shalt not, you fill in the blank, something about killing. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. Any final thoughts, Benny?
I mean, you mentioned Christian. Look, there are a lot of people in the United States military that are of the belief that the role of the United States is to bring about some sort of biblical apocalypse. So unfortunately, that's not necessarily a good indicator of whether or not somebody's gonna have empathy.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. So everyone watching on the leader platforms, listening to the podcast, thank you as always for your support. Those of you on the members app, a lot of different platforms, Twitch and YouTube and all of that, we've got more to come in the aftermath, including AOC pushing back against right-wing lies in defense of big oil, as well as some, I think, needed criticism of Joe Biden's moves in this area. Rand Paul defending TikTok, and then why Huggies is being targeted by QAnon conspiracy theories. All that and more after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.